Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Movie and Mr. Film. This week we review Blue Valentine, Beautiful, and Country Strong. And now, here are Mr. Film and Mr. Movie.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And for our first review, Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams team up in the latest R-rated drama from the Weinstein Company about a romance and marriage that has turned sour called Blue Valentine.
You got any, like, talents?
Like, hidden talents?
I'll play a song and you dance. I have to sing Goofy in order to sing. Like, I have to sing Stupid. Okay?
Okay.
You always hurt the ones you love. The one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always stay rose and crush it until the petals fall.
Now, last week we reviewed Somewhere, which, Mr. Film, I know you and I agree is probably one of the worst movies of the year, and Blue Valentine may on the surface feel like a similar picture. It's low budget, gritty, naturalistic, and a bit of a downer. Even the trailers are similar, featuring little dialogue and images shown to the backdrop of a somber song. But that's where the similarities end. Blue Valentine has a story about love, but it's not a happy story. The picture opens when Dean and Cindy, a husband and wife played by Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams, discover their dog has gone missing. The busy road their house borders ominously foreshadows the fate of the poor canine. But this is also symbolic of Dean and Cindy's marriage, which is filled with spite, resentment, and one wonders how this couple came to be the way they are. Dean is a talented guy with many skills, including singing and drawing, but hasn't made much of his life. He's held several entry-level jobs. He's charming and funny, but can also be angry and cruel. Cindy, a nurse, has grown up in a dysfunctional family whose father is an angry bully and emotionally detached from his family. She has higher aspirations to become a doctor. As the movie unfolds, we see small glimmers of Dean and Cindy trying to rekindle their love for one another, but it often fails. Perhaps too much damage has been done for that to be possible. It certainly feels like that. And one wonders what brought these two together in the first place. But we don't have to wonder long, as the picture is told in flashback parallels, intertwining the beginning of their relationship with what now seems like the end of their love and possibly their marriage. I thought Blue Valentine was well-crafted, Mr. Film. It's not a happy picture, but for anyone who's been in a similar situation, they will find these characters realistic and frighteningly familiar. And even as we see the beginning and end of their relationship unfold in tandem, which I think aids in the dramatic effect here and is executed brilliantly, by the way, we still don't have many answers or lessons to learn about why their love went sour. But that's okay, because ultimately the aim of this 1 hour, 54-minute movie is only to show us that love can and sometimes does go sour. And when it does, it is tragic and extremely hurtful. The song that Gosling plays in the trailer, You Always Hurt the Ones You Love, a standard by Alan Roberts and Doris Fisher from the 1940s, is thematically the perfect pairing for this couple's relationship and this movie. No, this is not a happy movie, Mr. Film, but it is a healthy reminder of the risks we take and of the potential outcome that we might face when we fall in love. I'm going to give this a B+.
All right, Mr. Movie. Yes, love can hurt, and we see it over and over again here in Blue Valentine. This is a tough look at love. But like you, I admire what the film was trying to do, and a lot of the credit for the power of the ending, which you alluded to and I don't really want to give away, has to go to editors Jim Helton and Ron Patan. Do a beautiful job creating a strong bit of pacing at the end and a counterpoint that really shows how the promise of love sometimes isn't its reality. While the film is well executed, I really didn't see anything all that compelling in the story. We've kind of seen this territory before. This is an actor's film, and that's not a criticism. It's the reason to go see this rather dark and emotionally disturbing picture. Michelle Williams and Ryan Gosling are both terrific. We talked about Ryan Gosling a couple weeks ago in another picture, and I think this really showcases what he can do. He's fantastic here. They're pitch perfect.
I agree on that completely. I mean, Gosling and Williams both are excellent, but I think he really is the star in this. I mean, I think this is really worthy of an Academy Award nomination for him.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. He is terrific. And both performances are pitch perfect. They're funny, they're mean, they're vulnerable, and these are ultimately likable characters. I mean, if you were their friends, you'd really want to reach out and help them.
Which really emphasizes, the tragedy of their relationship.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think that is, you know, bad love affairs happen to good people, I guess, is part of what they're trying to say, too. So, we've seen all these horrible rom-coms with these unlikely pairings that walk off into this sunset. And this is a pretty good pairing. It doesn't work out all that well.
That's what happens after the sunset.
Absolutely. And part of it, these are three-dimensional performances of three-dimensional characters. These feel like real people. They're not just saying lines. You know, you really feel that they're real. And I like that. But like you, I wasn't completely blown away by the picture and agree that if you're a choice between this and Somewhere, I'd rather have to spend 2 hours with this dysfunctional couple instead of the sun-drenched existentialist of Somewhere. Like you, I'm also going to give this a B+, and would recommend it. Also, a few other things to know is that this originally was rated NC-17. The love scenes are not erotic; they're pretty intense. There's some intense
and explicit too. I mean, I can see why the MPAA gave it an NC-17. The Weinstein Company appealed it and won, but this really is, I think, a borderline case. Whether it's R or NC-17 doesn't really matter, in my opinion. But this is, you know, pretty explicit. So this is definitely for adults, for people who I think have been in a few relationships and some that may have, gone sour. I think this will be more interesting to them than to younger audiences.
Yeah, but it also goes to the fact that we reviewed True Grit last week. That was rated PG-13. There's some pretty heavy-duty violence in that. And a few weeks before that, we reviewed The King's Speech. That's rated R. The only reason is for language. So the ratings...
Big differences between all three of those.
Yeah, there are big differences between all three of them, but you can't always go by the ratings in terms of making your viewing decisions. So just... For our listeners who may have heard a little bit about the NC-17 controversy, or even those who haven't, just it's probably good to know that you're going in for some pretty heavy duty emotional and physical stuff than what you'd normally get this time of year.
Definitely. And while you can't go by the MPA ratings, you can go by Mr. Movie and Mr. Film's ratings. So we want to make that very clear.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. You can always go by our ratings, even if we don't agree.
I'm not sure what you do in that case, but...
Go with me.
All right.
All right.
Mr. Film, what's next?
Our next film is Beautiful, the newest effort by acclaimed Mexican director Alejandro González Iñárritu. The R-rated picture from Liddell Entertainment is a stark story about a man, Ushbal, played by Javier Bardem, facing an abyss after being diagnosed with terminal cancer. With just weeks left to live, Ushbal has to put his affairs in order. This is complicated by the fact that his estranged wife, Maramba, is incapable of caring for their children. He's involved with the shady world of illegal guest workers, and he subverted his mystical gift for seeing the dead into one for profit. Now, Beautiful is a tough film to watch from every perspective. Ushbal's symptoms are not pretty, and Iñárritu shows them graphically, very, very graphically. If you have a weak stomach, I would close your eyes. But more so, the film, detailing a side of Barcelona few tourists have ever seen, is unremittingly depressing and grim. Ushbal has lived on a precipice for years, handling dozens of illegal immigrants, most of whom are involved selling knockoff purses and other counterfeit items. But with his death pending, Ushbal tries to make amends, seeking to patch up his stormy relationship with his wife, making the lives of his immigrants a little more bearable, and using his gift for good, at least the best he can. Now, things don't go quite as he planned. I'm not giving anything away, because if you've seen any of Iñárritu's other films, particularly Amaros Perros or 21 Grams, you know that his is a grim vision of humanity, and he shows it here as well. Life is less than beautiful for Ushbal and his children and anyone else in his sphere. But the point is that he's trying to make amends. I think that really ultimately is the message, that hope, even in this grim situation, there is hope. There's always hope that we can do right. And if we fail, we have to keep on trying until the very end. Now, the film does touch on some of the same territory as The Less Than Successful Hereafter, which we reviewed a few weeks ago. And I'm sorry to say that this film fails in exactly the same way on that count. The mystical ghost whisperer stuff is touched on, but not enough. As a matter of fact, the biggest weakness of the film is Inarritu's penchant for the sprawling and complex. And if you've seen some of his earlier films, Amoros Perros in particular, you know that he has a very complex storytelling method. There's at least two or three subplots that could have easily been jettisoned without hurting the narrative. And I think if the film had just focused on Ushbal as a mystic ghost seer, then I think that the film would have had the lean toughness that Inarritu was going for. And I think it would have been kind of interesting having this mystical ghost seeing guy kind of looking at the void. As it stands, the film, which runs at almost 2 hours and 30 minutes, is just too sprawling and complex for its own good. But when it focuses solely on Ushbal and his futile efforts to make amends, then it shines. Bardem, speaking in his native Spanish, is phenomenal. He remains strong on the inside as his body continues to decay. And there's a quiet fierceness to his portrayal that we don't typically see in English language fare. Beautiful is a tough film to watch and has some fundamental flaws, but Bardem's performance more than makes up for it. I give the film, which opens in wide release on January 28th, a B.
All right, Mr. Film. Now, I didn't get to see this movie, actually. I went to the theater, and there were only front row seats left. And,
oh, boy.
And, you know, watching a foreign language movie in a front row seat would probably, you know, give me whiplash or something. So,
yes.
So, but I'm looking forward. I think I'm going to check it out. I like Javier Bardem.
I think you should.
He was really good in The Sea Inside. And, you know, after Blue Valentine and our next review, you know, I think Beautiful probably flushed depression, any depression I have in my system out. So,
yeah. Yeah. You'll. Yeah, at the very least, after you watch this film, you will feel a lot better about your own personal situation, no matter what you have to face. So, in that case, it is well worth going to see.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. So our next review, Mr. Film, is Country Strong, released by Sony's Screen Gems, starring Gwyneth Paltrow, who plays Kelly Cantor, a country music superstar just out of rehab and back on the road. Accompanied by her husband and manager, James, played by real-life country singer Tim McGraw, as well as Beau and Chiles, played by Garrett Hedlund and Leighton Meester, respectively.
The country music star was arrested a few months ago for drunk and disorderly conduct.
We can't wait to get on the road again. We can't wait for the tour to start. Kelly's feeling better than ever.
She looks great, doesn't she, guys?
Thank you so much.
Silver wings.
I want Beau to open for me. He's a singer. He's a good one.
I've already got an opener for you. Chiles Stanton. You care about Kelly? This is her last opportunity to turn things around.
Because I'm country strong. Hard to break.
Well, Mr. Film, I didn't have high hopes for this PG-13 rated movie going in. And while it isn't a great picture, writer-director Shayna Fest does a serviceable job telling the story. Most of the acting and casting is good, but I found Paltrow a bit hard to swallow as a country star. Maybe it's because I expect a female country singer to have a little bit more meat on her bones than does Paltrow. She wasn't terrible. Now, she wasn't terrible and gets the job done, but I think one does have to suspend belief a bit to really get into this movie. But the story really isn't about her as much as it's about Beau and Chiles, who have a love-hate relationship as they join the superstar's encore tour after she's released from rehab. And things get complicated in a love triangle. Well, actually, it's more like a love square once we throw Tim McGraw's character into the mix. And as things unfold, we start to care less about Kelly and her husband and more about Beau and Chiles, whether they will fall in love and will have successful careers. But I did find myself rooting for them. They both play very talented country singer-songwriters, and acting and singing-wise, Garrett Hedlund and Leighton Meester definitely measure up to what's required to make that convincing. Now, Beau is more interested in a modest career since he believes that one can have fame or love, but not both. And Beau and Chiles' potential love and burgeoning success in their careers is bittersweet, as it is contrasted with Kelly, the megastar struggling with alcoholism, whose marriage is fractured and her career is on shaky grounds. This, I suppose, illustrates the love versus fame dichotomy, which to me seems like an odd pairing of supposed opposing ideas. But since it is the basis for the drama, you just have to go along with it to get out of the picture what it has to offer. I did like a touching scene between Kelly and Chiles later in the movie where Kelly imparts her country wisdom on the young Chiles to never give up on love and find love in everything you can. That was good. The musical numbers in here are also pretty good too, even for those impartial to country music, as I am. And I especially like the song Timing is Everything, which is well integrated into the story. And finally, a minor criticism is that some of the scenes are shot in a way that feels a bit cliched, visually speaking. And I think the director and cinematographer could have done a bit more to milk this story in the visual sense. And it does feel at times like perhaps the budget was smaller than they had wanted. But at close to an hour and 55 minutes, the pacing is good, and I enjoyed the story. The movie is better than the trailer suggests, I think, but still not great. If the subject matter interests you, check it out. I'm going to give it a B, Mr. Film.
Okay. Well, it sounds like it might be a good diversion for those who are musically inclined and such.
Yeah, and, definitely. Or anyone who likes country music or...
Yeah.
You know, there's always these, you know, stories that go behind country music. So, you know, this is, you know, it's kind of fun to see that play out.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be something worth checking out on a slow afternoon.
All right.
All right. That does it for our reviews this week. On our next show, we will be revealing our best and worst lists of 2010.
All right.
All right, yeah. And hopefully we'll be agreeing more than disagreeing, but I suspect that there'll be some interesting discussions on the best and worst lists of 2010.
And I have a surprise for you, Mr. Film, so stay tuned.
Uh-oh.
On the best and worst of 2010. Yeah, you have to wait till next show. Okay. All right. Well, that wraps the show for this week. Visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes. Tell all your friends to go to iTunes and search for The Movie Film Show. Subscribe, rate, and review the show in iTunes. That helps us a lot. And if you have a comment or question, just send us an email at mail@moviefilmshow.com. All right, Mr. Film, I'm looking forward to the best and worst of 2010, and I'll see you next show.
I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie. I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
You're talking to yourself there.
Ah! After you watch this film, you will feel a lot better about your own personal situation, no matter what you have to face.
Actually, it's more like a love square. One can have fame or love, but not both.
His is a grim vision of humanity. There's always hope that we can do right, and if we fail, we have to keep on trying until the very end.
Maybe it's because I expect a female country singer to have a little bit more meat on her bones than does Paltrow.
And these are ultimately likable, but the point is that he's trying to make amends. You can't always go by the ratings in terms of making your viewing decisions.
And while you can't go by the MPA ratings, you can go by Mr. Movie and Mr. Film's ratings.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. You can always go by our ratings, even if we don't agree.
Which to me seems like an odd pairing of supposed opposing ideas.
Mystical ghost-seeing guy. There's some pretty heavy-duty violence in that.
But this really is, I think, a borderline case.
If you have a weak stomach, I close your eyes.
And if I broke your heart last night, it's because I love you. Oh.